We're recording, okay. The date is June 26th. It is 9:20. I am Brady Kreitzer, and I'm here with Mr. Carl Lochner. Okay, Mr. Lochner, this is affiliation with Slippery Rock University. What is your past history with it?
I went to school here for a baccalaureate degree. Then I came back about 6.5 years later as an assistant professor of history and speech.
Okay, do you remember about what year you came back?
Came back in 1955.
Okay. All right, and what era were you here? Were the teachers' college?
The whole way. I was here until it was at the university where at that time I was director of alumni affairs.
Okay, do you remember anything that was different in the each era of time, you know, when thinking back?
Yes. Actually, one of the things that I noted, and I'm going to give you a little sheet after this is over. People were derogatory about the teacher's college. The only thing bad about the teacher's college was that we were underpaid and that we taught longer than anybody even thought of teaching today. That's one of the reasons there was less professional writing. However, I think that the kids that went here at that time got a good education. Obviously, I went with as a veteran, so that it was a little different for me than it was for the people who were the right age to go to college. Mm-hmm. I think they got a good education. If you take, and this is what I'm going to leave for you, it's surprising how close to 60 hours of it was to what would be called a liberal education, or maybe an ordinary degree from a college. Just matched it, because frequently, and it's still true, this is a place where students come with nobody educated in the family, not with college. It was the same way then. So they gave us a broad background, which was very advantageous, and which was, well, was advantageous to your career. For example, I had a history minor. I was hired instead of a Pitt graduate in the Pittsburgh Public Schools, because in this college I had 6 hours of geography in my history. Mm-hmm. They all had none. The Pittsburgh Schools combined geography and history.
Okay. All right. So do you think, it sounds like what you're saying, before we were officially, you know,
A college,
we really were.
Yes, I think that's true.
Could you think of any reason why the transition wasn't made any sooner? Because it seems like all the groundwork was laid already.
Well, I understand it makes a difference who was president. I guess there was that would be the time of Eisenberg, which I didn't know Eisenberg. But I understand from reading other things that he pushed the academic. Mm-hmm. I think he was pushed to push the academic.
Okay. We're going to talk about presidents here a little later down the line. But the department you were hired into, did it change while you were there?
Yes, it did. I came here half speech and half English. That's how I got the job. I could teach in two fields. The speech department was a speech department then. Nothing else. Then it became part of a communication department. And quite frankly, the people in speech today aren't as well prepared as we were. They're prepared many times in a narrow way, whereas we were forced to be prepared. For instance, I took clinic. Had nothing to do. I never had hoped to be qualified, but it was required of me to take. And so if you speak through your nose, I know it's called rhinolalia. They have no background like that today. Mm-hmm. That sounds derogatory, but I don't mean it to be. Today, everybody's highly specialized. Everybody in the English department had to teach the fundamentals course. Not just the new men and boys, everybody taught them right straight through the department chairman.
Do you remember what building your department was in?
Most everything was in Old Main for English. And stayed there. The speech department was moved to our offices were moved to the head of the house. That's where, that's now the Lowry House, I think. And at that time, then we moved to the West Gym, and we had both our classes and our offices there.
Now, you know, from other interviews, it seems like everything is in Old Main, in administrative offices.
It was.
Was it, what was that like, having everything so close like that?
Well, I think before I came, even the offices were in there. Well, the offices, except the permanent part of the building. But there were offices built on the second floor, or the, yes, the second floor. They were removed, and that made more classroom situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First impressions of the college or university. I guess first of all, since you went here, what was your what brought you to Slippery Rock initially?
Well, I knew about Slippery Rock. I visited here when I was a teenager, and I knew about it. I didn't know about any of the rest, and I worked, and when I was working, I intended to go to night school. I finally got a job where I could say I can go Wednesday night, and then the Army came, and I was 3.5 years. I thought, if I'm going to go, I might as well go.
Yeah.
So I went.
Okay. Were you, so you, did you grow up locally, or was...
Pittsburgh.
Okay. What changes did you witness while you were here, and were they for the better or the worse? Is there anything you can think of right off the top of your head that you remember that's, you know, we would take for granted today, but you would see that about the campus?
Better utilization of the facilities. That Old Main was just too crowded, and once we got over 1,000 students, it just didn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was what's now the what is it? It was our science building. Now it's I think right across the street from West Gym.
The behavioral science building. Straight.
Behavioral science. Yeah. Yeah, that was the science building.
Okay.
And that began to help. It took a lot of the people out of Old Main. Before I came here, it was a teacher's college, and very low in enrollment. That was still in Old Main, too.
Like all the classes were?
Yes. They had everything in Old Main in the beginning.
I just can't. It seems so hard to believe now with the way that everything's grown, and we have a building just for education.
It seemed hard for me to believe.
Campus activities. What were you part of during your time here?
Well, I was part of, let me approach that in a different way. We were old, mostly older. There were only a relatively few young men here because the veterans all came back, and some of us came as new veterans. I'd say that we went to everything. Now, we were affiliated with certain organizations. I was in speech organizations, the English Honorary, and so on. But if there's a concert, we all went. I don't like concerts. Somebody says, we went anyhow. Whatever there was, we went to. Because we were enjoying the richness of being around after having been 3.5 years or longer in the Army.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's interesting. You said when you came back, you know, from the Army, you got your job and started to come here. My grandfather can remember, as soon as him and all his friends got back to their hometown, they all ran to the steel mill to get a job, and they bought cars and all this. And so was that common that you saw or really uncommon for someone to go to school after the Army? Were you doing something that most people weren't doing at that time?
I didn't get the last part of your question again.
Whenever you came back from the war, you came back, you came to college, you came to school. Was that something that most veterans didn't do?
A great many did. It's considered to be one of the most advantageous uses of tax money that was ever done, because the figures of what would have been your relative income, and then was the income because we had college educations, tremendous contribution us and to the government.
Right. This is kind of a broad question, but it asks for your accomplishments at the college and university.
Well, I was here when it was a state teachers college. We belonged to the educational associations, and that was our faculty combine. Mm-hmm. And I was president of faculty there. That's nothing. What else? Oh, I coached debate when I came here. Your letter of contract letter said you will teach in my case two departments and pick a duty. And they gave me a choice of two, the newspaper or the debate team. I took the debate team. I guess I'm pretty pleased that for 19, I don't remember the years, in the 50s, I was the best judge in the state of Pennsylvania, not because of popularity, statistically. That's an interesting, you find that in the Debate Association of Pennsylvania College publication, and where else? Oh, I can't name the book anymore, but some professor that was a debate man, an English professor, put it in his book to show a way to approach a problem. You took the statistical, I can't tell you exactly anymore, but it was the record of the team achieved during the year that became the figure that you tried to match. You didn't know what it was, mm-hmm. but if you matched it, that was as close as you could get. And then you were, and I was first in 1 year and never lower than third. And that's not just the Fort King. That's Pitt, Penn State, everybody, mm-hmm. any college that was in the association.
Oh, wow. You said you taught speech and English here?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any class in particular that, you know, because I'm sure you had to teach a lot of different ones, that your favorite class to teach was?
I had a lot of Korean War veterans and I got along with them. I also, the reason I was teaching here, the facility did not provide a locker room that would allow men and women to swim together because they had to do some, just what they're doing now, tear up the campus. So for over a year, I taught every male health head, and many of them were veterans. Mm-hmm. It was a real good experience. All men. Now, I didn't teach, I taught women too, but not in those classes. They were almost all, occasionally they did mix one up for me. Mm-hmm. They couldn't mix it up.
Yeah. Was there, you know, a lot more men than women because of the teacher's college, or was it the opposite? Were there more women than men, do you remember?
There were more women, I think, yes. That's just statistically what happened.
Okay. Best and worst teaching moments that you can recall. You have any?
I didn't have any bad ones here. I had a bad one or two in public school. Nothing particularly bad here. I suppose one of the things that was a little difficult to talk sometimes faculty wives, and a lot of people came back to school when I was here. They had 2-year certificates if they achieved a baccalaureate degree. Then they went up a considerable step in public schools. So I taught a ton of them, and they were good people to teach in the summer. They weren't good to teach when they were working, but they were good to teach in the summer.
Yeah.
I think those two groups were the best I ever had. Incidentally, I taught that same group just once as a substitute, some teacher who had them in the winter at night. Had to leave, and I taught that same group again, and they weren't nearly as good then as they were in the summer. In the summer, they worked like dogs.
Did you, whatever you taught, did you move closer to campus? Because I said you were originally from Pittsburgh, or did you stay?
Oh, no. Stayed here.
You stayed there?
Yeah, you couldn't. Young people could do that, but being people who were doing visitations to see student teachers, mm-hmm. they sometimes lived outside.
Do you remember how much gas was from your commute? The price of gas to get the driving back and forth from Pittsburgh to Slippery Rock?
Oh, didn't even think of driving back and forth. In fact, we were still hitchhiking. Most of us, you know, came and we'd been in the service for 3.5 years. You weren't making a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us had no cars. And if you did, they were old. We still hitchhiked.
So you hitchhiked on your way to teach the classes?
No. As a student, I meant.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay, that's no problem. Okay, leaders of the university. Do you remember what presidents that you were here for and anything special about them?
I was here from Hauck through Reinhardt. They were a mixed bag, just as you expected. Some of them very good, some of them mediocre. I would say that at that time, it was a different thing. Presidents were more political. I don't know if you know this, but back before Dr. Houck, when the Commonwealth changed from Democrat to Republican, all the Democrats disappeared at the upper three levels. The deans, the president, and the buildings and grounds man.
Really?
Then when it changed back to Democrats, the Republicans disappeared the same way. There's one exception to that, and you can find this by looking yourself. That was, I can't remember his name now. I didn't know him way before my time. But he beat, and he was an excellent man. He was popular here, in the school, he was popular in the town. And when they finally, he must have been a Republican, the Democrats got rid of him. He was so good that they moved him to another state college, which is unheard of. So he's the one that beat him. Dr. Huck also beat him. He was criticized. There were some problems, as you probably are aware of. But he left here and became the head of WQED.
That's not bad at all. Do you remember anything about presidents, leaving office, any reasons that they would, particularly?
You heard of McMaster's. I didn't know him. But my friends were in college at that time, before the war. I had two friends here. They were told as freshmen that he had acromegaly. That's the bone structure expands and very painful and so on. And he shot himself. You can't find that any place else. It was definitely told that way, but it was generally considered that it was overworked. Mm-hmm. They used it as an excuse. I have no idea, but that was the kind of thing that occasionally, not very often happened, once in the history of the college. There were other presidents who were exceptional. I can't think of anybody that I wouldn't. There were some that were just political appointees. At the beginning, when I came here, they were more likely to be a superintendent of schools or something like that, and then come as president. Mm-hmm. And it always was a party that was prevailing in Washington, even afterwards.
So they weren't people that were considered, very popular on campus, maybe ever moved up to the presidential spot. It was always an appointee from somewhere else.
No. In my time, there was only one. Dr. Roberts was considered and then was not appointed. He was a dean at the time, almost far. I guess that's after Wattrell or how. I don't know. Can't remember. But it began to be that they ran searches, which is the way it should have been. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you remember any people? We have them listed as movers and shakers on campus. But anyone that on campus that everybody seemed to like and everybody seemed to go to for guidance? Do you remember anyone like that? Were you someone like that?
I already told you Miss Burns was very popular, both with her majors and actually, she had no major. Couldn't have a major in speech at that time. But mm-hmm. She was very popular with the speech people and also with other people. And very kind and good and didn't hurt anybody anytime. And yet wasn't just a good fellow. That's not what I'm saying. She mm-hmm. was brilliant. Dr. Spotts was very good for... you wouldn't have guessed that, but he was very good to counsel people.
Do you remember what his position was on campus?
He was the head of the English department.
Okay.
He also wrote the second bestseller in a workbook, English workbook. That's very unusual. Usually a bestseller is written in a place like Penn State where they take thousands of freshmen in, and then when it's required, which the guy who's head of the department or who wrote it, the department requires it and you sell a lot of them. That doesn't happen where you only have 1,000 students.
Yeah.
But after he published it here, the second edition was immediately wanted by Henry Holt and Company.
Huh. That's Spots World Culture. Is that named after him?
That's right.
Excellent. People that influenced you when you were here, as a student and as an educator, do you have any people you looked up to?
Well, I said Ms. Burns, Dr. Spots. I like Dr. Nichols. He was our Harvard PhD in English. I was an English major when I was here. They were all good for me. I can't, that's the three I remember most.
Okay. Major events or activities when you're here, do you remember any sort of things, whether it be university planned or something the students would have done that stand out to you?
Obviously the Vietnam War. That was a big, and a lot of trouble then, and broke up a bunch of lives in this place. For example, a man named McGregor, who went to school here, was called back, had wife and two children. He was the first job, first lieutenant in the Marine Corps, and a SEAL. He never even got a letter from home. He was killed before that. That's the kind of thing that happened in those days. His family stayed at the school, and the two children that he left are both educated here, and have degrees from here. And the grandchild received, and we didn't know it, it's no politics or anything like that, the grandchild received the Norman I have a scholarship here, mm-hmm. received the scholarship, which we didn't know until afterwards.
Do you remember anything, you know, the students were doing during the Vietnam War in terms of, you know, meetings or gatherings in campus, things like that?
Yeah, we just remembered mass meeting that they had, and that was probably during the Carter administration. Don't remember exactly, being the 60s someplace. We remember that, the usual things in the 60s. There was occasional marijuana, some drinking, I don't think as much as now, and maybe there was just as much, but it was a little better handled. During the GI time, we handled each other. Mm-hmm. If a guy got a little too much to drink, we took care of him. Didn't let him loose on the campus. And if he did it a couple times, we told him to knock it off. It was a different world then.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember anything else in terms of buildings being built that you can remember, you know, buildings that we consider staples of the campus now that just weren't there when they expanded?
I remember, I thought the Student Union, which is now going to be replaced, I thought that was a wonderful building, and it was for the time. The gym, the two gyms were the East and West Gym when I came here. When they built the new field house, we thought that was wonderful, and it's inadequate too, I'm sure. Of course, in those days, it's not as inadequate as it would be had this school stayed the same. But that's when we had a predominance of health and physical education majors. That was our specialty. Each of the 14 had a specialty. It supposedly, I don't know how we became that, but we did.
We have listed national events with local impact. You know, people always remember where they were when President Kennedy was shot, things like that. Do you have any memories like that?
Yes, I do remember that one, of course. I already said Vietnam War was probably the biggest one during the time I was here. Mm-hmm. That was terrific.
Okay.
Because many of us were called back, and many of those were killed, and that's hard. Then your students disappeared, or you got new ones who had volunteered, gone to Vietnam, and then came to get an education, just as the World War II students had done. I don't know if they had a good Bill of Rights or not. I think they did, but I'm not sure.
Do you have any other memorable events or memories besides, you know, the bigger things that happened that you're particularly fond of with coworkers or students, anything like that?
Well, two students came to me one time. James Wentz, who was the leader of that group, came and asked me if I'd be the leader of the faculty leader for the WNFT at that time, the student radio station. And they were illegally broadcasting. They had what's called a gas piper. They had a transmitter, which they put into the radiator system in the men's dormitory. That put it all over the dormitory. Unfortunately, they also put it outside in some place. And that's called a gas piper. They don't call it that anymore, but that's what it was called then. And I agreed to that and had a very pleasant relationship with them. We had our station in a little room in North Hall. It was a library at one time there, the main building, and then a little room there. That was very interesting. And they knew more than I did about radio by far. And one had been a radio operator from the time, that's Winston's partner, from the time he was 12 years old, he was licensed.
Is there anything you miss about being at SRU, looking back?
Pardon?
Anything you miss about being here when you worked here, looking back?
I miss the teaching. I missed it when I became alumni director. Teaching is, if you like it and if you do well at it, it's something that you become attached to, yeah, just as if it were your wife, and you miss it.
Okay. Words of wisdom, I guess that's usually what we've been doing for this question, as just reading it as it is. Other things you would like for current or future Rock community members to know, and how would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as a good teacher. I also did good work at the Alumni Association. It was about to go bad financially when I got it, and I left it with about somewhere close to $200,000. Not all my doing by any means. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed working with those people. I think it would be nice if it doesn't get too big, the school. Mm-hmm. And I think that's current thinking anyhow. At least that's what the president has said in my hearing. And I think this is a good size and could become more like a family again. When you get to be 25,000, forget it. I went to Penn State. You didn't know anybody except those in your major. Mm-hmm. And here we knew everybody. It's getting that way when you get to 8,000 too. But there's still a possibility of interlocking in different activities.
Do you like the way the campus has grown? Did you ever think that you would see it like this?
No. I never thought of that at all. As you know, that it upsets you that everything was in Old Main once. It just staggers me when I just saw the physical therapy building as I came up here. It's a beautiful building. You don't need to remember my remarks about that. But it's a good building. And I never expected to see a special building built like this. Science building, yes, that's customary. But physical therapy, that's only one thing. And it staggers you to see things like that.
Yeah.
In a little school.
All of us history and English and philosophy majors were all crammed into one little building. They have their own massive setup there.
But yeah.
Okay, that's our run through. Is there anything else you would like to say on any other issues for the archives?
No. I'd like to explain my black eye, but I don't know.
All right, that's excellent. That was great. Thank you very much.